In her book titled Advent, The Once and Future Coming of Jesus Christ, theologian Fleming Rutledge says this. She says, Advent is the season that, when properly understood, does not flinch from the darkness that stalks us all in this world. Advent begins in the dark and moves toward the light. But the season should not move too quickly or too glibly, lest we fail to acknowledge the depth of the darkness. And then she goes on saying, Advent bids us to take a fearless inventory of the darkness without and the darkness within. And that's what we've been doing this Advent, hasn't it? We've been taking an honest look at the space into which Jesus shines his light, the space of darkness. The Bible says it's the people walking in darkness who have seen a great light. And it shines on those who are living in the land of deep darkness. And so we are facing the darkness that we find ourselves in at times, and we're asking Jesus to shine his light in us afresh this Christmas season. That's what we're doing. And we started back at the beginning of Advent with the darkness of despair, wanting to receive the light of hope. And then we sat in the darkness of fear, inviting Jesus to bring his peace. And last week, Caden led us into the darkness of sorrow, where we wait for the light of joy. And didn't Caden do such a great job last week? Amen. And today, we face the darkness of rejection. And now, if you were paying attention last week, Caden mentioned that Pastor Michelle was going to be bringing the message today, but Michelle's mom, Marion Petrescu, is in the last days of her life. And so Michelle is needed to be with her mom, of course. And so we can be praying for Michelle, praying for Marianne, for the family. But Marianne wants to be with Jesus. So we bless you, Michelle. And so turn with me to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, it's on page 381 of the Pew Bible, or you can turn there in your device. Psalm 22, I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. The darkness of rejection. Hear the word of the Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. And you, our ancestors, put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, as we begin, as we look squarely at the times we have experienced rejection, Jesus, where we felt abandoned, we pray that you would bring your gospel light. And Jesus, I think really my prayer this morning is that you would love us. Because we know your love is what we need. So love these, your people. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. One of the great darknesses that we experience in this life is the darkness of rejection and its close cousin, abandonment. And lots of people go through not simply the Christmas season, but their lives, feeling all alone, unnoticed, uninvited. Some feel like they don't belong anywhere. They maybe even feel rejected by their family or their friends. They feel cut off from the joy, abandoned from the social world into social darkness while everyone else goes along on their merry way. And some of us, we can look at the hardships of our lives and wonder, God, where are you in all of this? Right? We can feel rejected and abandoned by people, but rejected and abandoned by God as well. And King David, in the Bible, he felt this kind of darkness. This is the psalm he wrote. He writes, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Right? This is the same person who writes in Psalm 13, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? These are the words of a man who feels alone, abandoned, shut out. But David isn't the only one in the scriptures, right? I mean, think about Joseph. Do you remember Joseph's story? He was rejected by his brothers, and he was left for dead in a pit. They walked away from him. They didn't care. And then there's Hagar, who carried Abraham's child. She was driven out of his home by Sarah. And there's the lament of some of the people in the scriptures, like Jeremiah, who says, why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us for so many days? And Job cries, he has put my family far from me. My close friends have forgotten me. And then Israel, as a nation, they declare, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. And maybe you've cried these kind of cries. You've felt this kind of pain. And for some people in the room, you're entering Advent feeling alone, unwanted, rejected. Or at other times in your life, you've felt unloved or abandoned. And maybe I should say at this point that maybe there are things this morning that get to a deep place in your heart, and you simply need to take a break from what I'm saying. And you have freedom to do that if you need to take space. But sometimes we feel this, these feelings of rejection, of abandonment, and sometimes it's something we feel that's happened from someone else, and other times we feel that it's God who has rejected or abandoned us. We feel this darkness of rejection in various forms. I think I've told the story before about a girl I went out with in university. And now, of course, this was before I met the love of my life. Let's be clear about that. But before I did, I went out with this girl on a date, a Christian girl that I met at a wedding. And so this was all, looking good in that direction. And she probably saw me dancing on the dance floor, let's be honest, and thought, I want to go out with that guy. That's what I'm telling myself. And so we made plans the next week to go out with some friends, and we went to the Roxy in downtown Vancouver. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Right? And so that's kind of what you do when you're young. And so we went out to the Roxy with a couple of her friends, and my date spent most of the night. So key detail was the Roxy is a place that was often frequented by the Vancouver Canucks. right? And so at some point in the evening, a number of the Vancouver Canucks came into the Roxy, and my date spent most of the night trying to talk to Donald Brashear. And for those of you who know who Donald Brashear is, he was the enforcer of the team, right? Like he was a bad boy, okay? He was muscular. He was a hulk of a man. He was known for roughing up the competition. And well, as the story goes, I never got a second date. Because in her words, I was too nice. Well, Lynette, I wear a leather jacket now. So there. Rejection. It takes different forms in different people, and this rejection and its cousin abandonment, it hits us in a place. And maybe you've been cut out of a team, or you've been excluded from a circle of friends in high school, or maybe you've been dumped for being too nice or not being nice enough. You know the darkness of rejection. You know what it feels like. And maybe you've been passed over for a job or a promotion that you thought you deserved. Maybe it's in your marriage. Your spouse left you. Or your spouse has rejected you romantically or emotionally. You feel the sting of it. Maybe for you, you've felt excluded in a church setting, that you've had religious people telling you that you don't measure up, that you don't belong. Or you might be a part of a minority group whose voice is always dismissed in our culture, and you feel it as rejection. Or maybe as a child, you had a parent that was overly critical of you, and you never really knew where you fit in the order of the family amongst your other siblings. Maybe you had a parent walk out on you. Or maybe the abandonment that you feel is because someone you love died. And all of these are ways that we experience this darkness, this feeling of rejection and being alone and being abandoned. And we often wonder in these situations, like, God, where are you in all of this? Like, do you even care? Do you see me? Have you left me here all alone too? And I wonder how this darkness looks and sounds in your own life. Like, what is it like for you? I invite you to call it to mind. Because you see, in the darkness of rejection, we hear this whisper that is saying, I'm unwanted. I'm uninteresting. I'm unworthy. I'm unlovable. I'm not enough. And in the darkness of abandonment, we hear a different whisper, and it's saying, I'm all alone. No one cares. No one's coming for me. And all of this, we hear these whispers, and from time to time when we hear them, we actually don't like to think about it all that much because it's quite a painful thought. Matthew Lieberman, he's a neuroscientist at UCLA, and he researches rejection and the effects that it has on people. And he set up this study once where he looked at the brain scans of a person who was playing a game with two other people. They were playing a game of catch. So there was one subject who would get a brain scan and then two others who were part of this game of playing catch. And during the experiment, the two others in the experiment stopped throwing the ball to the subject. At some point, they began just to play amongst themselves. And Lieberman looked at the brain scans of these people, of this person who was excluded from the game. And what Lieberman found was that when the subject was socially rejected, their brain activity looked the same as the brain activity of someone who experienced physical pain, right? Like stubbing your toe or standing on a tack. The brain looked the same in both situations. And he says, when human beings experience threats of damage to their social bonds, the brain responds in much the same way as it responds to physical pain. It hurts. Rejection is painful. And you don't need me to tell you that. Our language stresses the point, right? We talk about a breakup. Something breaks, it hurts. We talk about being cut off. We get cut and we bleed from those. We get cut out. And rejection is painful because, and this is important, rejection is painful because by God's design, human beings were created for community, for connection. We were made to belong. And social rejection, it actually tears at the fabric of what it means to be a human being made in the image of God. And when it does, when it happens, we are wounded. We feel pain. And one of the things that, about us human beings that we're really good at is that when we feel pain once, we do everything within our power to avoid feeling that same thing again. Right? We protect ourselves from pain. We don't want to be hurt again. For instance, some people protect themselves from the pain of rejection, from further pain of rejection by not getting close to anyone ever again. They hold people at an arm's length because they've been hurt. Or others become excessive people pleasers, trying to make sure that no one dislikes me. Others protect themselves by being overly controlling, trying to control the environment they're in. And all of these things, the protective mechanisms that we use to guard ourselves from feeling rejected, all of these things, they're dehumanizing. They're not the way God intended us to flourish. Pastor Michelle shared a story with me this week about a friend of hers, and she knows that I'm sharing this, a friend of hers who has gone through a really hard time, a rough time over the last number of years of her life. And people have wanted to come around this friend to support her, yet in her own pain, this friend, she held people off. She pushed them away. She said she wanted her space. And what Michelle has seen is that in time, many of her friends, they backed off. They pulled away, not because they wanted to, because they were trying to honor their friend's requests, her wishes. And of course, the woman only feels all the more alone and rejected in her time of need. And the point is, we often try and protect ourselves from the pain of rejection, but it only causes us to feel it all the more. And so we need a better light in our darkness. And we have one. We have one in Jesus Christ. And so call to mind the rejection and abandonment you feel, and look with me to Jesus. Jesus knows the rejection you feel. Aria named it this morning already. John 1, 10 to 11, it says, He, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus, the creator and sustainer of the world, the savior of the world, came into the world that he made and he loves, but he was rejected by that world. But not only that, he was rejected by his own. You see, we can understand that the Romans would have not received Jesus because they knew nothing of the coming Messiah. And we can understand that the Greeks and the Syrians and the Parthians would reject him because they had no prior knowledge of who this Messiah would be. But Jesus, he came to that which was his own. That first advent, Jesus came to the people he chose, the people he rescued from slavery in Egypt, the people he walked through the Red Sea with. He came to the people he fed and formed in the desert, The kingdom he raised up from the ashes. The nation he sent the prophets with words of life and words of warning to. That's who he came to. He came to the ones he called my treasured possession. The apple of my eye, precious and honored, my darling child, my people. Jesus came to them, to his own. But his own did not receive him. And Jesus knows the pain of rejection. He felt it at its deepest level, rejected by his beloved people, Israel. But not only that, rejected by his closest friends, Judas and Peter. Jesus doesn't simply know the rejection we feel. He lived it to its greatest degree. And get this, he knows the pain of abandonment. Or more accurately, he's experienced the worst form of abandonment a person ever could know. We hear the pain of it on the cross, right? Because Jesus cries out the words of Psalm 22. Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I want to spend a moment thinking about Jesus' rejection and his abandonment before talking about what it means for us, because it means the world. It's the light in our darkness. You see, on the cross, God, Jesus, the Son of God, he was forsaken. It means he was deserted, cut off, separated, abandoned. We'd rather not think about this part of his story because it's too painful, it's too weighty, it's too hard to understand. But he was forsaken by God, the Father. On the cross, Jesus was cut off. He was separated, not simply from mankind, not simply from his friends, those he loved. He was separated from God the Father. Forsaken. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us. On the cross, Jesus took upon himself the full weight and consequences of sin, its brokenness, and its curse. And in that moment on the cross, Jesus bears not only in his body, but also in his soul, the inevitable separation which sin causes and deserves between a holy God and unholy people. In effect, on the cross, Jesus is experiencing our judgment day. He enters the darkness of hell. He's cut off from God entirely. And we should ask the question, how could the Father let that happen to his only Son? How could he abandon Jesus on the cross? I mean, isn't God supposed to be the good, good Father? And don't miss this, because the answer the Bible gives is, of course, the Father didn't inflict this upon his Son, but rather the Father and the Son do this together. Together they choose to be separated because it's the only way to pour out God's love upon us and bring us back into the family. Listen to how the prophet Amos foretells of this moment of darkness on the cross, right? You remember, Jesus breathes his last breath and then the sky turns dark. And this is what Amos says about that day. He says, "In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious festivals into mourning and all of your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time, mark this, I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day." Yes, the darkness of that day is the darkness of the Son of God taking God's judgment upon himself. But the darkness of that day is also the darkness of God the Father, his heart mourning for his only Son, who has chosen to take upon himself sin's judgment for the sake of the world. Church, this is the love of God, that he did not spare his Son, but sent him as an atoning sacrifice for us all. Pastor Tim Keller, he's made the point saying, if someone in the church, he's a preacher, and so he says, if someone in the church were to say to me, I never want to see you again, he says, that would be painful. But if my wife were to say to me, I never want to see you again, it would be devastating. Why? Well, it's because the longer the love, and the deeper the love, the greater the pain of its loss. And yet, that is only a faint analogy of what is happening on the cross. Jesus Christ had known perfect love with the Father for all eternity. There had never been a moment where he did not experience infinite love and delight with the Father. And now, on the cross, that love is gone. Here's the point. Jesus was forsaken by God so that we would never have to be forsaken again. Jesus experienced that form of abandonment so that we would never have to. He entered hell, separation from God, complete darkness, so that we would not be destined to it. You see, Jesus doesn't simply sympathize with our feelings of rejection and abandonment because he's experienced it, though he has. He hasn't simply felt them alongside of us. He's willingly been rejected and willingly been abandoned to secure for us a life where we will never be rejected or abandoned by God. It's the gospel. And the truth of the matter is, all of us, at one point or another in our lives, we've ourselves have participated in rejection. And we've rejected others, but more so, we've rejected God. We've said no to him. And how does he treat us in return? He does not abandon us. He doesn't send us away. He doesn't say you're not worthy. You're not good enough. I'm going to leave you all on your own. He sends us his Son as an atoning sacrifice, so that we'd never be without him again. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we had our life all together, when we pleased him, when we did something good, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Meaning that while we rejected God, God didn't reject us. He sent his Son to suffer the consequences of our rejections in order that we would be included in the family of God. We are not excluded. We are embraced. This is the profound love of God for you and for me and for the world. This is the light shining for all of those who are living in the land of deep darkness. God has not rejected us. He has not abandoned us, even though we reject and abandon him from time to time. Rather, mark this, from the cradle, Emmanuel, God with us, says, I came here to be with you. And from the cross, Jesus, the crucified one, says, I came here to never let you go. So what does this mean for all of us who feel the darkness of rejection and abandonment? It means though you feel rejection, God has not rejected you. He calls you friend. He calls you his own. He calls you his beloved. And though you feel the sting of abandonment, you will never be abandoned by God Almighty when you receive Christ into your life. And then God sends his church. Rejected people who have been part of the sting of rejection, who felt it, who know it. People who were formerly excluded. We weren't people of God, but we've received the grace of Jesus Christ. God sends the church to be the body on earth who becomes a restorative, reconciling people who take the pain of the world in upon themselves as a way of showing who Jesus is. And if you feel like you don't belong, that you're excluded, I want you to know that you belong and you're included here. Not because we're good, but because Christ is good. And it's what he's done for us. And that kind of gift can't be kept to ourselves. When I was a young pastor, kind of starting out here, actually, at MCA Church, I had some insecurities. I carried some insecurities, and maybe in some ways I still carry them to this day, if I'm going to be honest, but it's different for me now that I've kind of been able to stand on this stage and speak to people that I know for a long time. But in the early days, I remember preaching a sermon, which, you know, on Sundays, I would preach a sermon on a Sunday, and I'd be carrying all of these anxieties at the end. Like, once we kind of said amen and kind of, you know, did all this, and we walked out. I remember walking away like with these anxieties, saying, like, what if they don't like what I said? What if they don't like me? What if they think I'm not good enough? And they go to the church across the street. And at the heart of these anxieties was the reality, was really one simple thing. It was the fear of rejection. Right? It was the fear of being abandoned. And do you want to know what the cure for that was for me? The cure for that in those early years of being your pastor for me, the cure was the moment that I went home after driving kind of down to my house. I drove home. The cure was the moment I opened the door and my children, who were 3 and 5 years old, and when they heard the door open, they would yell, "Daddy's home!" Right? And they would run down the stairs and they would grab my legs and one would be on each leg and I wouldn't be able to move. You know, you kind of, if you've been a parent, you know what that is, right? And they just surrounded me with their delight. And incidentally, they don't do that anymore now that they're older. And so we bought a dog. And it's the same thing. So maybe you have a dog and you know what I'm talking about. But the point is, the cure for the darkness of rejection and abandonment is receiving a better love. And receiving the love of my children drove the fear of rejection away from me. And friends, maybe today you need to receive a better love for yourself. To receive the love of Jesus Christ, who made you and loves you. And when you receive that, everything else falls into place. We have strength to stand in the face of rejection. We know we will not be abandoned because of the love of God. And maybe today, it's time to open the door of your heart and to receive the unfailing love of Jesus Christ. He was born in a cradle to be with you, and he died on a cross to never let you go. Will you receive the love of Jesus today? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Jesus. I just want to take a moment for you to speak to these, your people, through your Holy Spirit in their hearts. We've been working through darkness of despair and fear, sorrow, rejection. So I want to pray through these things right now. Jesus, for those who are experiencing the darkness of despair, shine that little light of hope and be the sustaining presence they need. And Jesus, for those who feel crippled by fear, anxieties in their life, be the Prince of Peace. And Lord, those who are under this weight of sorrow, would you give Holy Spirit joy? For all those who feel like they don't measure up, they don't belong, they live with this wound of rejection, abandonment, like I prayed, would you love them in this moment? And as we sit in this moment with our posture of prayer, I want to simply ask, is God stirring in your heart to receive him for the first time? Maybe you're here this morning and something I've said has been touching a nerve, and it's not me, it's actually the Spirit of God saying, come, give your life to me. I want to call you my child and show you this life of hope that you didn't know before. If that's you, could I simply just invite you to pray with me these words? Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of your grace. Would you love me today? I want to put my life in your hands. Be my Lord and leader. Restore joy and love, hope, and peace. I'm just going to ask, even in this moment, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you be so bold as to raise your hand, just so I can see? Everyone else's eyes are closed. We want to bless you. And Jesus, we pray this for all of us because we need your light. And maybe you're in this room and you received Jesus a long time ago, but you need him to light the flame again. You want to receive him afresh today. Would you simply just pray, Lord Jesus, be the light in my life again? Can I just ask that if you prayed that, would you put your hand up so I can see? So Jesus, you are so good. And so we worship you for all that you are and all you've done.